greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you all this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we can turn to you, Father, with our burdens, Father. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all your goodness to us, Lord. Again, we just thank you for Jesus and what he's done for us. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that we can stand amazed in your presence, Father. Lord, we just ask you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom. Father, again, just help us to be faithful to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So it's been a blessing to be here this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Jude. We'll just begin in verse 1. The book of Jude. The letter of Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God, the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write to you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. I want to, talk about that faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's one of the things we've put on our sign out here, that earnestly contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. That's been our goal here, that as we try to live our lives, that we, as a body, as a church, that we're part of the universal church of God. The word Catholic, that's what it meant, the universal church. You know, we think of the Catholic Church, and there's different than the Roman Catholic Church. It's the original church was called the Catholic Church, or the Universal Church, and that spanned all over the world at that time. And the Universal Church is what they had in the beginning, and that's one of the differences today. You know, today there's 30,000 different denominations or so, and everybody's divided into their own little camps, and we don't accept this group or we don't accept that group, and we've completely strayed from that universal church, that there's one church, one body of Christ. We forget that. You know, I was asked this week a question about, you know, why we weren't a part of a certain group, and I called the man and just talked to him for a pretty good little while, and I've known him for years, and I just tried to share with him that, you know, our purpose and what our goal has been here is to be a part of that universal church. And I just shared with him, I said, we would welcome you. We'd welcome your group. We would welcome anybody that's contending for the faith. And by contending for the faith, I'm not talking about just having the same set of doctrines that someone else had. Or, you know, they can vary. But that contending for the faith, and that faith is following Jesus. That faith is centered around Christ and what He taught us and how to live. And that's what the faith is about. You know, we have these different ideas, but you know, if we believe Jesus, we believe what He told us, and that's where faith is. And that's faith is our response to God's claim on our life. That's the definition of what faith is. Faith is not just believing real hard about something or believing a set of facts or a set of rules. Our faith, real faith, is when we respond to God's call or claim on our life. That's what takes faith. You know, it's easy to say amen to a creed, or it's easy to say amen to a set of rules or doctrines, but to actually respond in person to God's claim on our life. And that's what faith is all about. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19. Verse 16. I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll skip down here just a little bit. And someone came to Him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit, that I may obtain eternal life?" Some places this man's called the rich young ruler. You know, I don't know what position he held or about his wealth or anything about it, but he had a serious question. The question that a lot of people have. He came to Jesus. He had heard about Jesus. I believed he was really believing that this man is who he said he was. I mean, here's a man in the community that is respected and has a position. He's got everything he needs. And he hears about this man doing these things. He lowered himself enough to go find out who this man was. And he came to him with this question: "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" You know, there's a lot of people, if they're interested at all, if they have any connection at all with God, that question goes through their mind: "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he came to him, and Jesus said, "Why are you asking me about this? About what is good? Why are you asking me about what is good?" Jesus was trying to bring out to the man. He asked him these questions to really make him think about who he was even asking. And then he said, "There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept. What am I still lacking?" In other words, this was a good man. He was keeping all of these rules. Jesus never challenged him about whether he had or not. He said, "I've done it." And yet, you know, there's a lot of people today that could answer this same thing. You know, "I've done all this, Lord." And what he's trying to show him, what Jesus is trying to bring out to him, is that it isn't just about just keeping all these rules and doing all these things. He's done it. You know, and still he has this question. what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You know, today, talking about the modern gospel or the what's going on today, if this rich young ruler or this young famous person had the whole world by the tail, came to a religious service, and you know how we've seen it. You know, they preach a message, and then after they give an altar call and people come up to the front. And what they're doing is, when they're coming to the front, they're saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to get eternal life? I mean, different places, they have different situations, but people come to a place, whether it's personally talking to someone, and someone just comes up and says, how do I be saved? What do we tell them? You know, I don't know how many times people have asked us that, and I think a lot of times they were just trying to trick us into saying, well, first you've got to confess that you're a sinner. And after that, you acknowledge that Jesus died for you. And then you ask Him into your heart. I've been told this several times whenever I was growing up, seeking, asking these same questions. And people have asked me those things, and you know, how do you be saved? And whenever I don't go down that road, they say, oh, you're a heretic. You don't believe right. Because I don't have these little steps. But if we look at what the Master said to this man, He's the one that sets the pattern. Not modern religion, not modern theology. This man said, I've done all those things. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. You know, I've seen people that they've just added this now to the new step. They just sell everything they have and think, well, now I've completed all the steps. That's no good either. That it's not just about a set of steps. We've missed the whole thing. What Jesus was telling to this man, this one, he put his finger right on the place that he wouldn't give up, that he wasn't quite willing to give up. And he said, give me that one. What this is about true lordship. Not just lordship to a set of rules, not just lordship to a doctrine or a theology or a denomination, but it's a personal response to God's claim on your life. You see, he had done all the things that he was supposed to, but there was something that he just wasn't quite willing to give up, and he just held on to it. Nobody could see it. And see, this is where he answers the question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, give me the only thing you won't give me. That's what you got to do. Because what that does, that determines who's going to be the actual Lord of our life. And that's where faith comes in. We're going to allow someone else to be the Lord of our life instead of me. I've heard messages something like this before, where they talk about lordship and complete surrender and completely trusting the Lord. And I've heard bishops and deacons, they've come up to me and said, boy, that's a scary one. They didn't know that this is what it's all about. They still had that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But when the young man heard this statement, He went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. He wasn't willing to give what the Lord wanted for him to follow him. One of the things I've noticed about this is the man was sorrowful and he went away grieving. And you know, Jesus didn't say, oh, wait a minute, come on, wait, and went chasing after him, saying, well, maybe we can fix this. He let him go. He presented his case and then let the man make his decision, and he let the man walk away with it. And that's the way he does. You know, today, I thought about this today, this same, you know, can you just imagine a famous person today getting converted at a religious meeting? And then that religious person, I mean, he gets converted and he becomes a Christian. Well, he'd be writing books and he'd just become twice as famous as he was before. All because he accepted Jesus into his heart. But this same man, when he actually met Jesus, he went away sorrowful. And when the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, then who can be saved? You know, it's not a formula that we can just put in a little box. Who can actually be saved? It was almost impossible to them. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, that's the difference between real faith and something we've just worked up. Some kind of doctrine that we've just worked up about salvation. You see, salvation is something that you do whenever you meet God's claim on your life, when you surrender to God's will. Then Peter said to him, behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us? See, whenever these men heard Jesus, they were willing to walk away from whatever they were doing and do whatever he wanted them to do. You know, several of the boys mentioned about their fathers when they had to make decisions, that they had to make some hard choices and be willing to leave maybe their family, maybe leave their job, maybe leave their church that they'd been in all their life. There was just choices that they had to make. And they had heard Jesus. They had heard his voice. And it might not have been some clear, you know, thing that maybe there wasn't any ever even real daylight shining, you know, of what they should have done. But they still heard that voice. And they still followed it. They saw the goodness. They saw that there's something higher. They saw there's something better. And they wanted Jesus to be their Lord. And they were willing to do whatever it took. Some more, some less. It wasn't necessarily about the outward things that went on, but it was that surrender of the heart. You know, we talk about Jesus and how the night before he was crucified, he said, thy will be done. And it wasn't just a easy little prayer, he said. He said it with great sweat, like drops of blood. It was a hard thing because he truly had come to the place, thy will be done. In other words, I'm giving you my life, and I'm going to let the pieces fall wherever they may. but I'm going to put you first. That is where many of us in here have been. And we came to that place. Now, you young people, you've seen a lot of that, or you've heard about it. Maybe it's even happened before you were here, but you've heard about it, about your folks and how they've made choices. Now it's your turn. You know, this verse that we read about following the faith that was once handed down to the saints, and someone else has received it, and now it's handed to you. What are you going to do with it? You know, a lot of times, you know, we've talked about how good some of you got it. You do. I don't know of anybody, if I could choose to be a somebody in this world, in the whole world, this would probably be the place where I would want to be a young man. In this situation. In a situation like this. It's the best place in earth, the safest place in the world. And it's handed to you. I told this man that was talking about it, he asked, you know, about us. And I said, you know, the thing I talk about is a lot of times to these young people. And I said, told him about, you know, the cases where someone that's religious or someone that's got the thing, the world going for them, and they can look down at a drug addict's son or an alcoholic or something and just despise them. And I told him, I said, I tell you all, that's about as evil of an attitude as you can get. You didn't get a thing that you have that you deserved. That's why you should stand amazed in the presence that God would give you such opportunities and such blessings. Stand amazed at that instead of being proud that you can do 10 times more than anybody else, that you can work harder, that you can last longer, that you've got a better place or whatever. It was just given to you. You didn't do a thing to deserve it. It's a privilege. Something that should be taken very, very sacredly, that privilege of what you've been given. And remember what you could have been had someone just made another turn here or there, made the wrong decision, or somebody didn't make that decision to surrender it all, to follow, and just went halfway somewhere and wind up no telling where you would be this morning, if you'd even be here. With people, this is impossible, but God, with God, all things are possible. You know, being surrendered to the Lord. You know, there's success stories, and then there's some that don't look so successful. This Peter said, "Behold, we've left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." He said, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the first will be the last, and the last first." This this verse, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or farms for my sake will receive many times as much." The the brethren that have left things, it's a blessing that that produces fruit. It grows. There's a risk. You know, whenever we think about, or I think about this thing, you know, we've been talking about fathers today, and I think about my family. I got a letter a few years ago from a man who had talked to my son, and he was angry and bitter. I haven't been able to talk to him. Dak, I haven't been able to talk to him. But this, he talked to this man and he told him that he was angry. He was bitter. And he said, I know my dad is a religious man and I know he's found happiness. But that makes me so mad that I can't even stand it. When I think of that, I have a hard time. Finding any pleasure in anything. Knowing how hard it, how bad it hurts. Sometimes even when we make those decisions, there's other people, instead of a blessing, it becomes a curse to someone else. I just keep them in your prayers. Dak and Olivia and their grandchildren. I've got grandchildren I've never even seen. There's blessings that come with making right choices. But it doesn't always turn out just wonderful. That's the thing about a choice. You know, we think about making a choice sometime, and if I make the right choices, everything will turn out all right. But that's not the way it is. Sometimes when you make choices, it'll actually cost you everything in this world. That's the gravity of the choice that we make. You know, we often will, what, you know, if I just choose to be saved, it's all just blessings and everything will be good. That's a false picture of the choice you're making. If you're just choosing things just so they'll be good, then your choice is not about Jesus being the Lord. It's about you being happy and all the things working out right for you in your life. And then in the end, heaven. You see, the choice of giving everything to God means you give everything to God. I remember one day just giving my family to the Lord. And I'm in it. I still, and they're in His hands today. I wouldn't change it. I gave them to the Lord. I'd trade places, but I wouldn't change the decision, because it's about Jesus being Lord, not just the good results that might happen. You know, when I gave them to the Lord, I thought, well, boy, maybe they'll go off and die as missionaries somewhere. They're the Lord's hand. I had those pie-in-the-sky ideas of surrendering to the Lord. Maybe God can use them to do great things. Never dreamed that He'd just take them completely from me, and I'd watch from afar at the things that they have to go through. They're going through because of the choices they've made even now. But a lot of times the choices that others have made have put them in that place. To the point where they would even say they hated God. We live with our consequences, good or bad. Like I said, I made that choice and I make it again, I hope, by God's grace. Because I didn't make it about whether it would turn out. It was because who's going to be Lord of my life. No, you young people, making decisions, you're building homes, you're building farms, whatever you're doing, you know, some of your parents were leaving them about the time you're getting yours good and established. So hold on to them very lightly. Hold on to your little world very lightly. Keep Jesus as the Lord. You've got something worth handing down. There's something valuable to hand down. The faith that was once delivered to the saints. These men, Jesus, Peter and the disciples, they lost it. Because they found something that's greater than pearls. Greater than anything in the world. The blessing is that Jesus said, if you leave these things, I'll give them to you 100-fold. And I just often think what a blessing that verse is whenever I see the young people and the children, and I just feel like you're mine. You know, it's just been restored 100-fold. It's a blessing. But pray for my children. Lord, add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? Ron and Joanne's mother, they just wanted to express their thanks and gratitude for all everybody's done for them. Never seen or heard of anything like this. So. Pray for them. All right, well, God bless you all. I think tonight, okay, supposed to meet at Rowing River tonight, 6 o'clock. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Depart in peace.